You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of That Story Show is brought to you in part by DrawYouPicture.com, where you can get me to draw you just about anything for pretty darn cheap. Check it out, see what I've done for others, and see what I can draw for you at DrawYouPicture.com.
Hi, my name is Isabel.
And this is Amelia.
And I'm their mom.
And this is That Story Show.
Hey folks, this is That Story Show, the show that shares hilarious real-life stories from all over the world. This is episode 248, recorded live on September 1st, 2015, from the heart of South City, St. Louis. I'm your host, my name is James, and with me today, as always, is John Steinklauber.
Hello.
And Christian Sudreth.
Hey guys.
I should start introducing you guys with the different tone. Like, oh, really? Tone is, you know, they always talk about other languages, like Chinese or whatever, is a tonal language, they'll say. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, you can say the same thing five times and change the tone. And everybody's like, oh, that's so weird. But it's not. We do the same thing. So I could be like, I'm your host. My name is James. And with me, as always, is John Steinklauber.
Oh,
and
hi.
Christian Sudreth.
Yeah. Christian Sudreth.
See there?
Changes, kind of sultry.
It changes the whole thing. Yeah, Christian Sudreth. We want to start off this evening by asking the question, what is the worst thing you ever drank?
I'm drinking it right now.
I like to text these questions to the guys a little earlier in the episode and give them a chance to think about it. Mine's pretty stupid, so somebody with a good one should go first.
I can go first.
Okay.
Mine's good, especially because I deserve it. So I used to work at Chick-fil-A, and I worked up front for a little while in the registers where all the pretty people work, and then I wasn't so pretty anymore, so they moved me to the back.
You're pretty, man, let me tell you.
Right. And so back there, it's pretty hot just because there's so many different machines running. You know,
I thought you said all the pretty girls were up front.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring the show to a crashing halt.
No, I'm just kidding. So we would all drink sodas back there, or water, or what have you, just to kind of stay cool. And when you're in such a close space with, you know, two or three guys, you know, 6 hours a day, every day of the week, you get to know each other pretty well, and that pretty quickly turns into like playing pranks on each other. Mm. So we would take each other's drinks, and we would like pour salt, like a ton of salt in their drink, or we would cut open a ketchup packet and then put their straw in the ketchup packet and put it down so you drink ketchup.
Or, I'm going to try this.
and I was a pretty big part of that, in just very actively, like, don't leave your drink around while I'm, you know, playing. And so, you know, you'd get salt in your drink and you spit it out. That's not cool, guys. Yeah. You know, and then you go get a new drink. But we got a new guy one time His name was Isaac, and he pretty quickly became like a part of the group. And so I went up front to go do something, and then I came back, and I was so high, I wasn't thinking, and I took a big swig of my drink without checking it, and he had taken old fryer oil and put it in there, and I just threw up like all over the place. So that was the worst thing I ever drank, because it didn't even really I'm like gagging now thinking about it. It didn't taste good, of course, but it just tasted so.
Oh gosh!
It was so smooth and so and so salty and like
thick.
It's like some it was just so it was so thick, and it was like it went down in like two layers almost. And so it was just when I threw it all up, it felt like it was still coating my throat.
That oil, man.
Yeah. And it had like little bits in it and stuff. And I took a big.
Little crispies, crunchies. So yeah, I would imagine it went down different because it's a thickness. We don't drink thick things, you know, like with substance. Everything, tea, water, coffee, it all basically is very fluid.
I should mention too, we didn't, as some people use straws, but most of us use like coffee cup lids because they were more open. So you'd get like a big swig of it and then go. You don't have to sit there sipping your drink. So I definitely got a ton of it in my mouth. So that was by far the worst thing I've ever drank.
It's awesome. You deserved it.
Yeah, no, I definitely had it coming to me. I threw up and then was like, can I go home? And they're like, no, we're really busy. And so I ate a bunch of those free mints they give you. And then I went back to work.
It was the lunch rush.
Right, yeah.
That's the worst.
Brian chicken.
Mine's pretty dumb. If you go to Atlanta... which I know John does occasionally. They used to have a place near Underground Atlanta called the World of Coke. Do they still have that?
Yeah.
Well, there's one in Disney.
Oh.
World of Coke, really?
Well, that's this one is literally like a bottling plant, a tour slash has like it's a museum of Coke culture. You can watch the old commercials and everything. But the part that's awesome at the end is they have Coke products from around the world in this big, all the way around the room thing. And so you get your cup and you go down and you hit a little bit and it's like, oh, this is from China. This is weird, man. This tastes like celery soda, or just different things that are weird,
Really sweet stuff too, right?
Yeah. Super sweet or just super weird. And you're just like, kumquats, soda, based off that. Well, anyway, we get down to this one type, and I drank it, and literally, I just had this instant, I spit it out all over the tourist in front of me. I could not do that. And so I immediately turn around to my wife and say, like, hey, this is the best, best stuff here. And I looked at it, and it's called Beverly.
Beverly.
Beverly, that's what it's called. And of course, my wife drinks it. She makes it into the little drain thing. But I was done. I was done. And so I pulled back because not that I was done drinking, I was done because I wanted to watch everybody else do that, what I had just done. And I sat there for 25, 30 minutes while my wife rolled her eyes and watched people, borderline vomit, spew, spit, and then trick their friends into drinking some. I actually asked somebody about it, one of the people that worked there, and I said, yeah, this is not really something people drink. It's in Europe, they use it to cleanse their palate before they, they spit it out. And I'm like, cleanse your palate? How would it destroy, like napalm your palate? But the best part was a couple years later, I was telling somebody, and I was about to start to tell them about this stuff, and they're like, oh my gosh, are you talking about? And we both said at the same time, Beverly! Yeah. And we did, and it was the same thing. And it was really gross.
Describe the taste. Go ahead.
I can't even describe it. It was like paint thinner and bubbles.
It's really gross.
Medical waste.
Oh, so you've tried it, Chris?
Yeah, I've had Beverly. They have it. It's at Epcot. They have it. Okay. It's like it's from Italy. Yeah, it's disgusting. It tastes like what hydrogen peroxide looks like.
It is bad. It is like a chemical. You're right. It tastes like something that you would give your kids instead of spanking them.
Yeah. That's it. That's the stuff.
All right, John, what came to your mind when I asked the question, what's the worst thing you ever drank?
Well, first, let me just say, I loved that intro. That was adorable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The little thing at the beginning there.
Yes.
Hi, my name is...
Yeah, that one.
That's the one.
It was the best one yet.
Yes, it was. I agree. But that also reminded me of something, because those voices were very young. When I was younger, me and my cousins would play ridiculous games like, hey, what's in the fridge? Can we mix it up and make something out of it? And so I don't really know exactly what was in the most disgusting thing I ever drank, but I know it had a lot of soy sauce in it and some jalapeno juice. Yeah. jalapeno juice, some mustard and ketchup and random things in the fridge. And of course, we didn't know. We know the kids, my cousins would mix it up and they're, all right, you got to try this, okay? You're going to love it. It's so delicious. They try to sell it like it would be something wonderful and good, but it never was. And I took a swig of it and it was enough. I can't say that I vomited it out because I don't remember much after that moment.
Cause you were like trying to be nice. And so you're like drinking it and you're like, well, what's the positive spin I could take on this?
I'm trying to be cool and say that. No, it didn't bother me. It was awesome. I'll drink the whole thing.
If you threw up, you'd have to apologize. I'm sorry, guys. I know you worked hard on this. I know you love me.
it wasn't that bad.
The worst thing I ever saw drank was not something I drank. I mean, we've all done the thing where you drink tea and you think it's soda or water and it's lemonade and it's just gross for the first time. I think we've all drunk from the milk jug and swallowed a milk turd or two before we could spit them out. I've done that before. But the worst thing I ever saw, it wasn't even me. It was a kid in my children's church, and he comes up to me with one of these little pre-made communion things that he found in the children's church. And for those that don't know, it's a little communion juice in a plastic case, and it has a layer of aluminum foil, and then it has a wafer that is made out of whatever they make the space shuttle out of, and then another frame or layer of the stuff there, because it matters. So he hands it to me, and he says, can I have this? And I look at it, And it's congealed. The grape juice has gone beyond fermentation, and it has jelly bits inside of it somehow, you know, some sort of fungus. And I was like, no, you need to put that in the trash. And I did. I kind of tossed it down the sound booth trash. Well, he comes back. I actually, it was a little bit later. I'd done a segment or two, and I come and look in the trash, and the thing's open. I didn't think much of it. I'm thinking somebody must have dumped it out. And then he comes to me after service, and he's holding his tummy. And he's like, oh, dear. He's like, Pastor James, I just don't feel good. I'm like, you drank that thing, didn't you? And he's like, no. I'm like, I don't feel sorry for you at all. Go sit down until your mom gets here. If you feel like you need to go throw up in the sink. God doesn't love you anymore. Go away.
You deserve this.
I'm the robot devil, and you deserve it. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Futurama. But yeah, that was really gross because whatever was inside was wet, but it was fuzzy. And fuzzy things aren't usually wet, but it was because it was growing outward, you know, attaching things to itself. So he drank that junk, and it did not do good.
That's wrong.
It's not the wine that Jesus made. Mm-mm. That's all I'm saying.
That's not the blood of Christ.
No. Let's see. Before we get into our backstory, I want to mention... one of our patrons, Frank Hicks. I just want to thank him for updating his pledge. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's a great way to support the show. You can do so at patreon.com/NLcast, I believe. But it's a way for you to give per episode to the show. And most people do about $1 a show. And Frank updated his pledge. He's a longtime pledge guy. He updated, added a little bit more to it. And I just want to say, hey, that's a pretty cool idea. So if you have been giving and you're like, I could do more than $4 a month, you know, then consider going over there and updating that if you can and if you think the show's worth it. Right now, time for backstory. All right. I'm going to do one, and then I'm going to let you guys go, and then I'm going to do the last one, because I hate my dog the most of all of the things that you guys could say.
Perfect.
We've been going to the park ever since school started. We have a park right around the corner. I mean, just not even around the corner. It's down the street. It's called Fremont Park. dang it, now everybody's gonna know where I live. It's not called Fremont Park, it's called Benton Park. And anyway, we go down there at a certain time, right after church, right after school, every single day. And we've yet to bump into anyone. But my goal is, and my thinking is, that eventually people will realize that there's going to be two kids in the park that are fun to play with from, you know, whatever to 4:30. Well, anyway, the other day, finally, there was somebody there. It was an older couple with a little tiny blonde girl. And she was squeaky and cute and the kind of blonde that's like white hair, you know, that kind of blonde. And she's running around with my kids and Jay and her, you know, they're the same age. So they're chasing each other and all this kind of stuff. And then, oh, it's time to go. And so they're gone. And they happen to mention, we got to go get on a plane because you're going back home. And that was the grandparents. So, yeah. So the kids are playing by themselves again. And I'm not even joking, but 2 minutes after those people leave, this other lady comes up with a little blonde, bleached out hair looking girl with squeaky voice. And it was like crazy. Like they were twins separated at birth. I felt like I should have hollered up the street at the people and said, you know, is this somebody that you used to know and should know? My kids even stopped by like, is this the same girl? No, I'm like, it's just white people. We all look the same, you know. But it was very uncanny how much these girls looked exactly the same. And yeah,
and the last name was Stepford.
Yeah, I figured, you know, I don't know, you always hear that you have a doppelganger out there, you know, an exact duplicate of yourself somewhere. That's what I always heard anyway. And I felt like I could have, if those two had just come to the park a little sooner and left a little later, the world might have just blown up. So I'm glad it didn't.
Freaky.
So that's my stupid one. So Christian, what do you got?
All right. So the day after our last show, so it's been a little while, I had gotten some chicken to go grill by the pool at our apartment complex where my wife and I live. They have these really nice, or so I thought, grills
down by the pool. Already there?
Yeah, they're already there. You know, kind of like community grill, like first come, first serve type deal. Mm-hmm. So I get out to the grill. I got my chicken marinated. I'm excited to cook a nice dinner for my wife and I. And so I get there and I turn the propane on. They've got like a little timer on the bottom. So I turn that on, and then I give it a minute, you know, and I go back and I turn on the, I open the grill, and then I turn on the first burner, nothing, and I turn on the second burner, nothing, and then I turn on the third burner, nothing, and then I click on what I thought was the fourth burner, but apparently is the first burner. And this sequence is apparently important on this grill because if you don't turn them on in the right order and the gas has been running for like 10 minutes, you get a giant fireball that burns.
Yes.
And I burned off all of my arm hair.
No way.
And most of my chest hair and my eyelashes.
Both of them, huh?
Curled all the way up.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So that's a pretty big fireball.
It consumed my face.
Oh, my goodness.
We were going to go swimming after, so I wasn't wearing, or the shirt I was wearing, it was like a V-neck. So thank goodness it didn't catch my shirt because I could have been on fire for sure.
It's
like, I had glasses on, so I think that kind of saved me too. But it
still burned your eyelashes.
It was a huge explosion, and there was a Spanish guy behind me. Oh, Dios mío! I did that. It was funny. It was really intense. But my wife was on her phone and didn't even look up. She didn't even. I must have made a noise, but I had to tell her like, "Hey, did you see that?" She's like, "Yes, we would."
Yes, you would.
But couldn't take a picture of it for Instagram. It's not worth knowing about.
Right. On top of that, it rained really hard, like 2 minutes after that, and so I didn't even get to cook it. I had to bring it inside.
Well, that is nice to know. The universe only wanted you. Had you caught on fire, they only wanted you to burn for 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
So you probably not that bad. May have survived.
Yeah. That's good. I've since learned how to grill on that grill, just so everyone's aware.
So what is the trick? I mean, there's a lighter, obviously, a tick, 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 ding or something like that.
Yeah, it's got like one of them ignites all of them. So if you want to use it, I mean, as far as I understand it, if you want to use it, you have to start on the left side.
Mm.
And that one will let you turn on all the other ones. So what I had done is basically just said, let the gas come through, let the gas come through, let the gas come through. Turn on the flame. And
I feel like we should make a public service announcement.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't light it on the first knob, you might want to wait a minute.
Before yeah, give some time for the wind to blow.
Yeah, I should have, I should post a sign or something, because those those grills are just out there for anyone to use.
Do you like your arm hair?
Wait, maybe you could get a lawsuit out of this. Free rent for a month.
For a month? No.
Damages to your arm hair and chest hair. Yeah. I think they'd cover that.
Be too embarrassed. I had some problem with the. I'm sorry. Why? Bald person, please come over here.
What happened to your eyebrows?
Never mind. I'll pay full price.
My eyebrows are fine. They're as thick as possible, so they're still there.
I thought you were gonna say thick as possums. John, what do you got for us? What's your backstory?
Oh man, it's kind of embarrassing, but you know that's what makes the best ones, right?
Yeah.
Like losing your chest hair. My friend, Phil, he had this nose surgery. So, like, he had to, like, cleaning out, like, I don't even want to talk about it because it's gross. But he had surgery, fix his deviated septum.
Oh.
And so he hadn't had coffee in, like, 4 days. And
connection.
And it's, like, all sorts of weird stuff, you know, that goes along with surgery and stuff in your nasal cavity.
I am ignorant of all of it. But
well, that, like when you can't smell anything, your sense of taste diminishes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
I saw that on Mr. Wizard, I think when I was a kid. So
it's awesome episode, wasn't it?
Yeah,
with the apples and the potatoes.
Yeah,
I remember it. So he texts me because I hadn't seen him in a while, and he texts me and he says, "I'm just having my first cup of coffee in 4 days." And I can't taste a thing.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. So I text him back and I says, but can you feel it? With a question mark. And then instantly, as I've hit send, I realized it didn't go to him. It went to the nursery director that I was just chatting. And I'm like, oh my goodness, wait a second, I gotta fix it. So, you know, you have the split second moment where you gotta think, do I just ignore it and pretend it didn't happen? Or do I try to explain myself? Possibly risk the chance of digging even deeper. And so I tried to explain myself.
Of course you did.
That message was for Pastor Phil. And I said, I'll explain it later.
I don't know how to spell septum.
She
told me out, Siri.
And a text. But can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
Oh my gosh! What's that? I said I'll explain later. She said, "Do I want to know what you're talking about?" Like, yeah, probably not.
Don't want you to be a pastor anymore.
Yeah.
You talk to my children.
We got a great story about a bad text message coming up here later on. All right, so my stupid one, because I hate my dog. all right, I know it's not trendy to hate your dog. It's actually trendy, especially in this area where I'm at, where all the hipsters are, to consider your dog as part of the family. and now there's always been those kind of folks, you know, they're very lonely or, you know, maybe they just don't have children or can't have children. They've adopted their kids. Their dogs and call them their kids. And that's what I'm used to from my growing up era. But now people have t-shirts that say dog dad. And my kids want me to get one because they know I hate my dog. and there's a sticker that you can get. And they're like, we're going to put one on your car. And I'm like, well, I'm going to throw you out of the window. We have three stories now. It'll actually work. So so anyway, people say that their dogs or kids are like their dogs and dogs and kids are the same. And that's the part I take issue with, because my child has never drag its butt across the hardwood floor and then lick the line.
Oh,
you know, and my dog has done that. You know, it's like, let me just get a taste of what's going on back there by smearing it all over the floor. So anyway, I hope that makes my point that there is a difference between the two. But today, because I don't like my dog, this is important. My son handed me some knives out of the dishwasher, and he hands them to me, knife first, you know, pointy end first. And I'm like, okay, teachable moment. Anybody that's been in Royal Rangers or you know, Boy Scouts or even RAs, you know that you hand the knife, you know, handle first, you know, and you say, thank you. And so I'm teaching him all this stuff and we're passing it back and forth. No, don't put the sharp end into your hand. Take the flat end, you know, and okay, now say thank you. And I said, while we're passing this back and forth, my stupid, ignorant, stupid, dummy, freaking dog is very, very interested and is absolutely convinced that we are trading some sort of awesome thing that he needs to eat.
It's a treat. I need to eat a treat.
And he's just down there. Just, I'm surprised he hasn't jumped up because he'll do that once in a while. And he always watches me when I load into the dishwasher. I've been cooking a lot lately. He watches me and it's always with this look like he's like, I'm waiting for you to screw up something so I can eat it off the floor, you know? And so I always take it as a very condemning thing. And I always tell him to go away and quit looking at me because I can't stand people watching me just to watch me screw up, you know.
He's a dog.
Yeah, exactly. But I hate him. So it gives him a whole image that he probably doesn't even have. Like he's this vile, evil demon, cute dog thing. So he's under there and he's, you know, looking all happy and it got on my nerves so bad. I'm like, so I grab the knife. I'm like, you freaking want to eat this, you stupid dog? You want a knife? No. You want to jump up and grab this in your jaws and eat it? You're a retard, you know. So there we go.
You should let him do it.
I wanted to, but I didn't.
Here, dog, catch this in your chest.
Catch it in your life. No, and let me just say that I'm the only one that feeds and waters this dog. I just want to say I'm the one that takes him to get his stupid haircut and all that stuff. Nobody else cares for this dog. I've already said I you know, expunge his butt sacks and all that stuff that need to be done.
Don't make me think about that.
I take care of him. So you have to balance that against the fact that I hate him, but I don't hate him in, you know, to kill him or to leave him in a hot car. Well, I don't know.
It doesn't get too hot in Missouri, huh?
No, we could do a test. No. All right. All right. Time for featured
on the news.
Featured stories. Yeah, I don't want to be on the news. You can send. Oh wait, these are listener stories. I was reading the thing, but you can send your stories in anytime you want. This is how they get on the show, in case you're wondering. You have to send it via submit a story page at thatstoryshow.com. Here's some folks that did that, and this is called Baby Hater by Puppy Dragon. Hey, James, John, and Christian, this is Puppy Dragon from Evansville. I have a story that my mom is never going to live down. We were at Sam's Club, and my brother was pushing the cart when he noticed that the lady in front of us, who was moving incredibly slow, had a baby in the cart. My brother doesn't like babies. He just doesn't. It's kind of a joke. So his mom said, why don't you run over the baby in the cart in front of us with our cart? That's what the mom said, kind of as a joke to the boy. Go run over the baby. I thought it was funny. You guys are about to cry. Anyway, the lady in front of us heard the mom say this and turns around and glares. And so now we tease my mom relentlessly about running over babies in shopping carts. The lady in front of us gives us the dirtiest look ever and hurries away. So
she sped off.
I liked this one because when I would push my kid around, like at Disney World or at Sam's, I always used to like to imagine that if you put two babies in a jar, that they would fight each other, kind of like betas, you know?
That's what it was like beta fish.
Yeah.
Or just one baby in a mirror.
And so, you know, I'd be in the umbrella stroller and there'd be a baby crossing by and I'd go, and I'd act like I was trying to pull back my kid from attacking the other baby. And for me, this was hilarious. over and over and over. But I never looked back to see the looks I was getting, but it was just hilarious. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had to keep babies separate? Like, there were no nurseries, nothing. You had to keep your babies separate or they would kill each other.
They'd go after you. That sounds like something from Malachi Nicole's world.
Exactly. Babies are dumb and deadly.
Deadly. Maybe that's why they're dumb, because they're deadly.
So that lady would have hated me even worse, because I'd have been like, you know, throw the baby up there and watch them fight, you know.
Test your might.
Baby fight.
I bet there's an alternate reality somewhere out there, a universe that you could access with your grandfather that would be nothing but babies fighting each other. It would be a great place to go.
Baby fights.
Baby fight.
It's the next game in the Mortal Kombat.
I'm going to tell you what, if there ever is a baby fight, this show will be sponsoring it. We will be the main sponsor. Baby Fights brought to you by That Story Show. What the heck? Nobody's listening, fool. I didn't throw that in there. So just to let everybody know. This is called My Better Half by Steve Weisenberg. His last name is missing some vowels. Just going to tell him that right now. Hello, it's your friendly neighborhood homeschooler. Oh, that explains it. Steve, I just thought I'd share this story with you guys. Throughout my 17 years of life, I've always had the worst of luck. For example, one day I was homeschooled. Oh, that was me. Sorry. I did that. One day when I was 9 years old, I was climbing a tree in our backyard. And I slowly made my way up to the tree, testing every branch before I grasped it. That was hard to say. And then I decided to shimmy across a long branch and try to cross over into another tree. Man, that is pretty epic if you could do that. I know a young man that probably has. So he climbs trees like a monkey. But however, my lower half fell off the branch, and I was just stuck there dangling like a cat in Hang In There Baby posters. So I hung in there for about 10 minutes. That's not true. I saw that myth busted on Mythbusters that you can only hold on for a matter of seconds. But he hung on there calling for his dad to save him. Finally, says he came out, he stood under me and told me to let go and he would catch me. So I did, as I was told, and I let go, placing all my trust in my dad that he would catch me. I had that same experience, except I hit the ground. Because my dad's dead. Well, as I'm falling down, my feet start turning toward my dad's head. And then I was almost to him. I ended up kicking him in the head. And naturally, he stumbles back, which meant that Tom Petty and I had something in common. We were free, free falling.
That's awesome.
And I guess I'm not that unlucky because there happened to be a pile of pine straw where I landed. In the end, I didn't break anything except my dad's face and my dad's pride. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. I expect another story out of my dad soon. I promise you're going to love it. Your friendly neighborhood homeschooler. Steve Weisenberg. There. That had the right amount of consonants and vowels in Weisenberg. That one. But up here, it was W-Z-E-N-B-U-R-G. Downstairs, it's W-H-A-R-Z-E-N-B. It's not any better. It's just right, you know. Now, I call that my better half because I like the part where he says, I was going to go across, you know, to the other thing. However, my lower half fell off.
My bottom half fell off.
Yeah, my everything from my waist up was fine, but man, I lost
my legs hit the ground. They started walking away.
Went and got my dad. I was in trouble. Now I told you I've been watching a lot of Futurama, and there's an episode where Zoidberg's chopping everybody up and putting them together in the wrong places. And
yes, it was a funny episode, I think.
Oh. That's
a good one. Wow.
Zoidberg baby. Yay. I love that. Can you do good news? Good news, everyone?
Gold news.
I love it. Awesome.
Hey, shut up,
Billy West is awesome.
It's very great.
Shut up, you.
Sweet Bahamas from my mama. I don't know. I don't know who that guy is. All right.
If I could just do Fry.
Oh. Yeah, his is kind of whiny. I don't know.
Same guy does all three of those voices. It's just crazy.
It is insane. Very talented folks. This is called Fat Giant by Daniel Lewis. It's the one I was telling you about, a text message thing. he says, this is Dan from Willie Poe, Pennsylvania. It's one of our nicknames for Williamsport, Willie Poe.
Willie Poe.
He says, I went to the grocery store one day to get a few items. And around here, the grocery stores are called Giant. I have seen those. We don't have a Publix like you guys do down south.
Yay.
Anyway, I had just finished up with the grocery shopping. My wife sent me a text asking if I had left Giant yet. She wanted me to get a few things. So I sent a message back to her saying, I'm still here at Giant. However, autocorrect decided it wanted me to have a difficult life. And so the text I actually ended up sending was, I'm still here, fat giant. Did I mention my wife was 8 months pregnant at the time?
Oh, no.
So thank you, autocorrect, for almost getting me killed. And he says, I hope you enjoyed the story. And yes, we are still married. It is amazing.
But I'm missing one of my limbs.
It is amazing what women will put up with.
It was the autocorrect, I swear.
I swear. How many relationships have probably ended over bad texts?
Oh, man.
You know, me and my wife are talking about that. If you wanted to talk to your girlfriend in high school, you actually had to go to high school, you know?
Or use the telephone.
Or yeah, maybe if your parents would let you talk to girls, is what I'm saying. Or the dad would let the girl talk to you. So, you know, nowadays kids can fight and argue until 4 a.m, you know, on texts and stuff and misunderstand each other. And oh, anyway, so I had it easy. Notebook paper, man. You actually had to work it. And you had to fold it and you had to put a little tab in it and say pull.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then you'd
have
to
have friends that would pass it without letting the teacher see it. And so
when the teacher found it, man, you signed a pseudo name on there so nobody knew it was you.
Oh, man. This was our middle school drama. It's called Red Light, Green Light by Josh Nolan. He says, this happened when I was in middle school, and it may be read with the appropriate middle school voice. So yes. Let me play our... our homeschool drama theme song there. All right. He says, so when I was like 8 or 7 or something, we were at my friend's house. At least I think it was my friend's house. Anyways, we kids were playing freeze tag in the backyard. And there was this girl who was like a tagger and stuff. Anyway, she was chasing me and trying to tag me to freeze me. And then I had to run up into a random treehouse. And so now might be a good time to tell you what I was wearing. I was wearing shorts, a blue t-shirt, and sandals. The clothing doesn't matter, but you need to know I was wearing sandals. Lols. Anyways.
No.
This girl cornered me in the treehouse. Cornered. Oh, I just got that. I didn't know what he was trying to say earlier. This girl cornered me in the treehouse. I was forced to jump out of the treehouse safely, hopefully. Anyway, I took a leap over the guardrail, or nearly over the guardrail, because my sandal got hopelessly stuck on the rail, which affected my flight pattern. Needless to say, I hit the ground, but first I hit hands first, causing both of my arms to be broken at the same time. At the same time, I tell you. Snap. 2 weeks later, I was wearing two casts. One was green and one was red, so I was able to play Red Light, Green Light without talking, hopefully. Thanks for the show, Smiley. Oh. Thanks for the Thanks for the middle school drama. I've never broke a bone except for my pinky toe. I did that last year, I think. So, have you guys ever broken anything?
Yeah. Yes. I broke my arm. I broke a bone in my just below my wrist, and then a bone just above my elbow. So I had to have like a full arm cast because there are two minor, you know, fractures. Like that was inconvenient.
John, you ever broke anything?
Yes, broke my wrist playing flag football. And then the same year, I broke my knuckle playing basketball.
Yeah, we'll get him playing flag football. That'll be nice and safe. He'll never, he won't hurt himself like with that tackle football.
Both against the same school. I just realized that.
Oh, so
at the same other guys. Campus.
Oh,
something's up with that. Down in remember Nassau?
Yeah,
Nassau,
yeah. Nassau County. Yeah.
Yep, yeah, that's where it happened.
Wow. Yeah, no, I never broke anything. So I told my kids, I'm like, you guys are allowed to break one bone between you. I don't care who it is, but once you do it, you know, whoever does it first, the other one can't break any more bones. But I just want to kind of experience it through you. But I kind of changed my own mind secretly because we were at the restaurant the other day, the one that has a lot of TVs. And of all things they were showing sports-wise, they must have been hurting pretty bad. They were showing heavyweight arm wrestling.
Oh, gosh.
And my kids are like watching it slack-jawed. They just couldn't believe it. They, you know, what is this for real? Is that really real? People are sponsored and stuff? I'm like, yeah, yeah. I was like, it's not so cool, though, when you see one of them snap their wrist off at the wrist. And so I couldn't even watch because they're bending those things. They're forcing. It happens, yeah. I mean, you're pushing all that down there. I did say I was very impressed, though. I was looking at them, and they had two even-sized arms. And apparently when you're doing this, there's a right hand competition and a left hand competition. And so you can kind of battle, you know, whatever your best side is, I suppose. But no, if one of those guys did that and I put any kind of pressure into it, my wrist would just kind of slide off the totem pole there.
You have an arm sheath.
And then, yeah, out of all the sports I've seen, that was the least impressed. I mean, I'm impressed that they do it or what. No, I'm not. It's like something they would do in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome or something. It's like, we've lost our legs. We've lost our personalities. We've lost music. Everything that means anything. So now arm wrestling is the cool thing to do. Sponsored by That Story Show.
Baby arm wrestling.
Yeah, babies. Babies got fat arms. They can do it. Well, that's it. That's our show for today. And I just wanted to thank you guys and remind you again that if you want to send in your stories, we will read them. And you can find out how to submit them at Submit a Story, that page at thatstoryshow.com. And I hope you have enjoyed the show, and I hope that you will show your appreciation. One of the ways you can do that is by supporting us via the Patreon system, Just a Buck a Show, which will unlock various benefits like bonus content that we do every single week for those that just a way to say thank you for those that do a little more. So visit thatstoryshow.com/donate today. Patreons, remember to pick up your bonus story titled He Dropped This at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. I hate reading the titles every week because they always sound so mysterious. What does that really mean?
What did he drop?
I don't know. So I guess that'll do it for this week. The show that almost didn't happen, man. Today was a rough day. So thanks for the show. Thanks for listening. Visit us online, thatstoryshow.com/nothing, where you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Join the NLCast Network community on Facebook at nlcast.com/group. Review the show on iTunes or wherever you found us. And thanks to our Patreon backers. Thanks to Rob Govers for our theme music. Thanks to our spouses for letting us record, our story contributors, and you for listening. And remember, when you're telling a funny life story, kick your dad in the face and tell it like nobody's listening. We'll see you guys next week. Peace. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you guys.
It's my life.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.